We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by Empress Bank. Coming up, the latest on the 2024 NFL Draft from the team at KC Sports Network, your home for Kansas City Chiefs coverage.
What's up, everybody? Thanks for jumping in with us today. Kent Swanson, Craig Stout, Maddie Lane. We are here at beautiful Holiday Distillery again for one final show, a recap of the 2024 NFL Draft. Talk a little bit about the undrafted free agents that we've seen this team sign. It's always a fun episode to do, just kind of, you know, after a night of sleep, you know, after getting, you know, going through the 3 days and going through that process and just getting to, you know, sit back and reflect on everything that this team has done over the weekend. Very excited to be here again at Holiday Distillery. It has been an absolutely wonderful weekend out here, and we are looking forward to having a party here in a couple hours to celebrate the end of the season, for us at least. And yeah, it's going to be a good time. Craig Stout, how are we feeling today?
We're feeling great. The smokers are firing up behind us, so we've got just the smell is wonderful right here. It's great to be out here. Feeling great about the Chiefs draft class, feeling great about some UDFAs. We'll get into that a little bit too, yep. But I'm feeling great about the fact that I get to see my beautiful friend Matthew Lane's face on this fine Sunday morning. Maddie, how you doing, buddy?
You know, I'm doing well. I enjoyed another good Chiefs draft in the books. This is like a couple years ago. I think you guys talked about it a little bit on the live show.
Hold up, Maddie. Is that a mustache? Are we burying the lead here?
Kind of. So here's the issue. I had
be
just
squint, you can see it.
Yeah. One, it at least looks like I shaved, buddy. So you can calm all the way down back there.
I'm not any better yet.
I had just trimmed my beard way down before I knew we were doing a old mustache thing. So there's like barely any hair there, but there's remnants of a mustache.
Appreciate you in support. Please continue. You know, how you're feeling about...
No, it's okay. Today. We'll get back into that later. The mustache talk was more important. I get it.
Yeah, thanks to everyone that helped us achieve that benchmark as we were trying to raise money for Therese Paylor, the Power Mizzou scholarship for him. We raised nearly $11,000 over the course of the weekend. That's a new record for us at KC Sports Network as we were going through this and exceeded last year's number of 9,100. So thank you all for continuing to raise the bar as we try to continue the legacy of someone that meant a lot to us at everyone that's involved at KC Sports Network. So really do appreciate. That's why we are all shaved down to mustaches. Feel free to make fun of us if you are.
Please do.
At the Holiday Distillery later today. But let's get into this, guys. This draft class, we'll talk about, we'll probably just go player by player a little bit here and then get into some of the undrafted free agents. And we start with Xavier Worthy, the wide receiver out of Texas. The Chiefs make a small move up for him, surrendering pick 95, getting a fourth round pick back, a little bit of a pick swap, keeping it 3-for-3, which when you see what this team did the rest of the week, boy.
Again?
I think that move looks even better today after we've seen what the team has done with those picks than it did even when we saw them go up to secure. Like, we would have been happy with them just, hey, Xavier Worthy getting them off the board, you know. But, man, this team was absolutely cooking. Maddie, we'll start with you. Xavier Worthy, 3 days removed from the pick. How do you feel?
I still feel great about the pick. He's a guy that I had targeted pretty early on. It's like, hey, this guy looks a lot like a Kansas City Chiefs. A Chief, he fits the profile that they usually draft, that they usually go after. And he was one of the last wide receivers that, like, on my board, I put down as, like, I think this is a round one target for the Chiefs, right? And so everything about it checks out. I feel absolutely no worse than I did when they took him. I think he's going to be really good in this offense. I do wonder if the trade-up was entirely necessary. It seems like most of the other teams that were in front of them were into a little bit bigger wide receivers, but then you start hearing some rumblings that maybe the 49ers were interested in Xavier Worthy. So did they know that? Did they jump him for that reason? So without ever knowing, that's the only, and I don't even want to say quibble, but that's the only question I have over the pick was it entirely necessary to move up for Xavier Worthy or not? Doesn't matter. Get the player when you want him. I think Brett Veach said that. He got to where we needed. Go get the guy you want. And, like, hey, that's good management right there.
And I do think that a lot of people are hanging on Brandon Bean's comments about how, oh, they probably would have gotten that guy anyway and all of that. Yeah, he might have been right. But San Francisco 49ers took another two wide receivers in this draft class. So, I mean, it's not like they were completely avoiding a position. And I'm okay with moving up and securing your guy. It was a small trade-up. Again, they gave up pick 95, the thing that I kept hammering all day that day, the next day, the day after that. I like that they kept their pick volume. They still need a couple more bites at the apple, some depth pieces going forward here. They only had 25 players under contract.
Yeah.
26 players under contract for 2025 before this draft. Keeping those bites at the apple, even if the value isn't the same, keeping those bites at the apple, I think, was imperative. And when we even got to 95, we were looking at the board and,
that's fine.
It's all right. Like, but there would have been players that we were okay with. There were some players that did go off the board early in round four that maybe would have been a little bit better fits. But the two round four picks that the Chiefs end up with are some of my favorite picks in the draft. So, you know, I don't think that they really missed out on the players that that we personally would have been, you know, like, really pounding the table for there at pick 95. So, with that being said, adding that speed element, adding that route running ability, adding the ability that Xavier Worthy is going to put on the field from a dynamic nature, get them back closer to what the 2018-2019 offenses were for the Kansas City Chiefs. Well worth a small trade up in keeping your pick volume.
Can't stop staring at your beautiful mustache.
Thank you.
The Niners took Jacob Cowan, you know, later in the draft too, like another smaller, faster type guy. I know they're not the same skill set, but just, you know, seeing the way that they really kind of leaned into trying to address the wide receiver position, I wouldn't be shocked if, you know, if the Niners were actually interested in Xavier Worthy. I think the Chiefs just didn't care to a certain level.
They didn't want to happen what happened last year.
They had conviction about the pick. They had conviction about the player. And they just were going to make sure that they took somebody that they value highly. And that's, I think that's really all it boils down to for this team was, you know, yes, you know, it might have been a little bit more insurance. Maybe some teams, two receivers did go off the boards, which I think, personally, I feel like that's enough to validate the pick in and of itself.
Sure.
But even if they weren't going to get Worthy, not messing around for a player that Brett Veach basically said, like, they kind of have a very clear vision and a plan for, knowing that piece of it, that I think matters, right? And I think that's a good thing. That you just go and make sure you're insulating yourself and protecting yourself from losing someone that you feel very strongly about as a fit for your team.
Yeah. I mean, the fit is very obvious. Oh, 100%. You've seen it with Tyreek Hill. You've seen it even with Mecole Hardman to a lesser degree. Like, you know exactly how he fits in. And I've seen a lot of complaints about his weight. I've seen a lot of stuff about that. You know, Andy Reid got asked about it and gave the hilarious quote of, you're asking the wrong guy about weight. You know, that's great. But I know a lot of people have been comping him to DeSean Jackson, talking about how Devonta Smith coming into the league, you know, as a lighter individual, still going round one, having an effective, you know, career so far as a Philadelphia Eagle. Tank Dell gets pointed to a lot with, oh, look at him. He got injured. Listen, that's between the tackles. Those were situations where Tank Dell is in between the tackles getting hurt. How many times do you remember Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman, running in between the tackles, blocking in between the tackles, doing any of the, you know, any work inside the box, it's very rare. I think you got to be smart about how you use these players if you are taking a lighter player. And we have seen that implementation to a T with a Tyreek Hill and a Mecole Hardman. And so I am not worried about Xavier Worthy and his weight within Andy Reid's offense, because we have seen these guys get used the proper way to help maximize their careers.
Not even a little bit concerned for me.
Yeah, the weight part, it's not a concern at all for this team. And you can go back, I mean, and even farther, like any of these light players that Andy Reid has coached over the years, you can look at, I mean, when DeAnthony Thomas was still here, like all these different guys, right?
Yeah, perfect,
like,
yeah.
They never got hurt because of where Andy Reid put them. He put these guys in a situation to utilize their athleticism, not their play strength. I don't think you're going to see Xavier Worthy going downfield and being asked to box out and high point the ball over a Jalen Ramsey at any point in time. So, like, yeah, it's his
play. Going to run past Jalen Ramsey. So,
is his play strength roughly, you know, as a 170-pounder? Yeah, probably. So don't ask him to win any, you know, thing that's a strength battle on the football field.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, Mecole Hardman wasn't playing at 186 pounds last year.
He was not. No.
He looked Xavier Worthy size last year. So, and I'm not saying, oh, let's comp him to Mecole Hardman. I'm just saying, like, the Chiefs used him in a variety of ways last year, and it was a similar sized player. Xavier Worthy is a much better player than Mecole Hardman. But as far as, like, the size of what Mecole was playing at last year is probably going to be closer to what you're going to see Xavier Worthy weigh in at next year. And they were running him on jets. He was still running past people. Like, they used him outside the numbers primarily. Oh, no, exclusively. So, yeah.
You want to be completely objective, too. Like, Mecole Hardman's lack of play strength did show up, so it's not like it can't show up for Xavier Worthy.
Sure.
Like, you can go back to the Super Bowl versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Like, that was the most glaring example. They were knocking Mecole Hardman 5 yards off his route pathing consistently in that game. And so there is absolutely a chance that sometimes Xavier Worthy's size is going to show up. But again, I trust the Chiefs. I trust Andy Reid to work around that because he has in the past. And I also got to be very, very clear about this. Mecole Hardman played wide receiver for like 2 years before getting drafted to the Chiefs. Yeah. And like, he still was never super technical. Xavier Worthy showed up to Texas and was putting it on Power 5 competition. Like, I don't know, the Oklahoma Sooners as a 19-year-old, because he's a good wide receiver. He understands how to handle it. So like, yeah, he's a smaller wide receiver. I just don't think it's going to be that big of a deal. And he went to the one team that has shown you over the years, they know exactly how to utilize that kind of player.
Yeah. Not just a fast guy.
18-year-old.
18. Oh, you're absolutely right. Yes.
Which is all the more impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, he's an impressive player. Chiefs make another small trade up, going from 64 to 63 to make sure that they get their offensive tackle. And it sounds like they were starting to try to trade up for this guy early in the 50s of the draft. And it's Kingsley Suamataia out of BYU. A lot of connections been made there. Went in for a 30 visit, has the BYU connection to Andy Reid. Keeps staying at your mustache. But yeah, I mean, they are, again, they're just trying to make sure that they secure the guys that they have the strongest conviction about, the guys that they believe in the most. And Craig, they went and got a quality swing at tackle for them.
Another great Andy Reid quote from about Kingsley Suamataia.
Good job.
Thank you. I've been working on that. Brett Veach said it on the call, said, yeah, coach has been real nervous for the past 10 picks. So again, Patrick Paul was within those past 10 picks.
Yeah.
They're looking at this tackle group as a whole. Maybe it wasn't just for Kingsley that he was getting nervous about, but they feel very passionate about this player. This kid can run and he moves effortlessly. When he does put everything together, when you see him utilize his hands appropriately, when you see him put his feet together, it's excellent. Like, you see the ceiling of a player like this, and you see exactly how he can fit within the Kansas City Chiefs offense. Deeper pass traps, being able to get out on the move on screens, being able to, you know, really pin his ears back and enforce his will in space. These are the things that he does really, really well as an offensive tackle already. Another very young player coming out of BYU that still is going to grow in his physicality, grow in that room. Andy Heck got a new toy, and Andy Reid is going to deploy it in a way that he doesn't have to shift his offense. So, yes, there's a little work that needs to be done for Kingsley, you know, before we get to a point where you feel comfortable with him being like a true set it and forget it kind of tackle. You know, hopefully he gets there soon. It would be great if he got there this year, but we're now to a point where you're taking a gamble on a project tackle without having to shift your scheme to try and fit him into what you are doing. He just fits so many of the hallmarks of what they do. Just a couple places to improve, and you're talking about a truly high-end left tackle.
And, like, I think it's pretty clear when you hear Andrew Heck or Andy Reid talk to him, they continuously are talk about him. They talked about his athleticism. Just you watch him, you see him move, you see how athletic he is, and you go, no, that's a guy that specifically plays left tackle. And I think reading between the lines there, just they still see the left tackle as a more athletic position than they do, let's say, a right tackle. That's kind of funny with Juwan Taylor, right tackle, yeah, also super athlete. But still, like, they see him, like, they like the athleticism. They think it translates well to being a left tackle. I think even just kind of listening through, and they're never going to say it, but it seems like there's a little bit of work there. Like, they don't focus in on his hand technique. They don't focus in on how technical anything is. It's all about the athleticism, yeah, the upside and what he can become. And I think that's why this kind of player goes in late round two versus early round two versus round one. And that's why we had all those conversations leading up to the draft. This is the perfect spot to take him. You bring him in, now there's no pressure to step in right away and have to be the starter. There's no pressure to come in right away and be perfect. You can spend some time developing, learning. He's got to tie his hands to his feet. Like, there's plenty of work, like you guys said, to do, but every time you watch him, all that pops off is, why is this guy so big, and why does he move so well at this size? No, not everything is perfect. There are issues, like, in his, like, this footwork and the way that he takes some angles, but he's so athletic that it almost overshadows any of the other stuff that you have to really pay attention to see where the work's going to be needed.
I think it's worth mentioning that the tape that we all watched this last year was him as a 20-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a piece of this that you need to take into consideration as well. And if Kingsley Suamataia had come back for another year to BYU, we would probably be doing our way too early mock drafts with Kingsley Suamataia in the top 20 of the draft. This is a player that, if he had stuck around and for another year in college, is probably viewed even more with another year of work,
yeah,
that these guys continue to get. Like, you're probably looking at a guy that gets considered in the first round of the 2025 NFL draft. So I think it's kind of worth mentioning, like, yes, this is a project, but this is a kid that played as a 20-year-old the last year of college, is still growing into his frame. Like, I still think that there's more, you know, like, there's grown man strength to be had there at some point here in the very near future for him as well. So I love that. I love the pick that this team made. I love the swing that they took on the developmental tackle. Yeah, there's definitely going to be some development there, for sure. But the, you know, the traits are there. I think one of the
chief scouts. Yeah, that's what I was just getting ready to bring up. One of the chief scouts brought up the fact that, yeah, you know, every time we scout this, you know, what people kind of see from the outside looking into the NFL is, oh, this guy's ready to play day one. This guy, we're looking for this technique. We're looking for this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, while that does matter, not trying to say that it doesn't matter, every single player that comes into the NFL needs help with their technique. They absolutely need help with their technique. Joe Alt is coming into the NFL. Joe Alt needs help with his technique. He's got work to do. So this isn't a thing where you just look at a guy and you're like, oh, no, you know, that other guy plays football better, so therefore he's clearly a better player. NFL teams view this as, there is a lot of stuff that we need to teach him. Each NFL team does stuff differently. Think about your job. You know, there are things that are going to be inherent to your job that are not going to be something that you're going to learn elsewhere. So the same goes for playing left tackle in the NFL. So these guys always view every one of these players as, how much do we need them to learn? What other technique things do they need to learn? And more importantly, how quick can they learn those sorts of things and translate them to the field?
I think the final thing that just kind of tells you, like, how, not how much development he needs, but, like, why there might be so much. Kingsley only has played out, as according to Pro Football Focus, he only has 201 true pass sets in his college career. That's not a lot, right? Patrick Paul, just last year, not this past season, but the year before, had more than that in one season. He has over 600. Now, and then Amarius Mims, who barely played football because of injuries, has 100. Like, he's halfway there with playing, like, a fourth of the amount of time. So just, he wasn't in an offense that made him be overly technical for what's going to translate. So it goes back to that point. Yeah, we can sit here and try to look for a perfect player, but at the end of the day, you look for traits, you look for the athleticism, and you let your coaches do their job to get him there. It might be a little bit of a journey, but it's not a bad thing. It just means they are getting the player they think is in the best position for their coaches to make the best player.
Absolutely.
The Chiefs made two picks in the first 2 days of the draft. We thought they might sneak into day two again with a third selection. They didn't. They stood pat, and they did some absolute work on day three of the draft. We're going to talk about that right after this.
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network. Make sure you download our new app. Find it on the App Store or Google Play. Just search KC Sports Network.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Chiefs made a few small trade-ups in the first two rounds of the draft just to try to make sure that they secured their guys and secured the two most important positions of need for them heading into this draft. They took care of business there. We know Brett Veach and his propensity to trade up, be aggressive. He showed a lot of restraint on day three.
He did.
And didn't make a single trade up, I don't believe. Or maybe did. No, he didn't make a single trade up.
He stuck and picked.
He stayed and picked at every single selection that he had in day three of the draft. And it started off, they kicked it off at pick 131 with TCU tight end Jared Wiley. Maddie, how excited were you to see Jared Wiley be selected by the Chiefs?
No, I love this pick for the Chiefs, right? And like, so just taking us back to that round four kicking off there was a handful of guys we all kind of liked, and they all kind of started flying off the board in that stretch before the Chiefs pick. And it's day three. You're not going to be upset, but you're like, wow, I think I see a lot of good value here that's going before the Chiefs get up. And Jared Wiley was probably kind of like the last guy available from that group of players that, you know, we would be super ecstatic about that was still going to be available. And they go and pick him. And like, it just makes so much sense because we hear every year, all these past couple seasons, A, they need to get another tight end to replace Travis Kelce. They need to get somebody in eventually to take over that mantle. And Noah Gray's been great as a tight end too. I don't know if you've seen the flashes that you want him to be the Travis Kelce replacement. So what do? You go out and get one of the most athletic tight ends in this draft class, one of the more athletic tight ends coming through the NFL Combine altogether with the great size, similar backstory to Kelce being a quarterback recruit, switching to tight end. Just a guy that you can easily see if, again, he develops at the rate that you want him to, you can easily see him becoming this, like, you know, higher end receiving tight end with the athleticism, with the length that he has, the ability to catch the football over the middle of the field. So he's a guy that makes a ton of sense. You don't know what you're going to get from him year one, but he makes a ton of sense for kind of like that role for the team.
And I see him even in year one being a red zone guy. And if he's just a red zone guy, that's very valuable. As Kent mentioned yesterday on the live stream, a high red zone guy where he can use a little bit, not just of his size. I know that that's what we all think of in the red zone, but that vertical ability, his ability to get out and run away from linebackers, run away from some DBs, some safeties, could not catch him. There's a big, long touchdown run that he has. What, 80 something yards where he's got players chasing him and nobody's catching him. You know, that's rare for a tight end. So you can see some of the vertical stretch ability. You're going to get the ball in his hands, have him run after the catch, which he is good at doing. He's actually pretty nimble on his feet. He takes longer strides, but pretty nimble, you know, getting to where he needs to get. Now, all of a sudden, you're going to be able to have that open area, the middle of the field. Now the teams are going to play more too high against the Hollywood, against the Xavier Worthy. It opens up the middle of the field for Rushy Rice, for Travis Kelce, and now for a Jared Wiley. Mm-hmm. You got three guys that you can put the ball in their hands and feel pretty comfortable about what they're going to do after the catch, where they're going to be able to run after the catch. This creates more nightmare scenarios.
Yeah.
And allows you to play some 12 personnel where you can get him on the move. He can block a little bit. He can move some bodies. Again, not big bodies. You're not putting him as a Y, as an inline blocker, and saying, okay, down block a defensive end and create some space. That's not where he's going to be at his best. Have him on the move as more of a kickout blocker, create some matchup nightmares.
I wasn't getting the vibe either that they're underwhelmed by him as a blocker.
But no, they actually upsold that.
They upsold a little bit, just a little bit. So like maybe, you know, maybe they believe there's a little bit more there than, you know, than some might think. I've been holding on to this, but I wanted to throw this scenario out to you guys. If I had told you the Chiefs took Xavier Worthy at 32, Kingsley Suamata'i at 64, Jaden Hicks at 95, and Jared Wiley in the fourth round, we probably feel pretty similar to what we feel right now.
Yeah.
And this is one thing I was just kind of thinking about is, you know, the Chiefs make some move ups to secure the players that they feel the most strongly about, right? Round one and round two. And they recoup all that value back in spades by taking Jaden Hicks, we have a Jared and a Jaden in round four. Jaden Hicks, the safety out of Washington State, maybe not a position that we were hot to trot about this team trying to take early, but you always got to expect that a little bit. And round four, doesn't matter anyway. This was a best player available selection for the Kansas City Chiefs, and they said so themselves. They were surprised that Jaden Hicks was falling to them in round four, Maddie.
Yeah, and they should have been, right? Yep. Safety's been a devalued position, so it's kind of hard to figure out, is it in the draft being devalued? Were teams not seeing something with Hicks that I think the majority of other people saw? I think it was one of the biggest steals, according to most consensus boards out there, because a lot of people had him as a clear top 100 pick, edging in towards the top of, or the back end of round two.
Yeah.
Day three, round four, the Chiefs get on the phone, they're like, oh, wow, we didn't know this guy was going to be available. Let's go ahead and take him. And it's all about the versatility, something that this team absolutely loves out of their defensive backs. You want to play him in the box. You want to play him as a deep coverage player in the back end. I was watching back last night, and I didn't think this is best role for the NFL. Washington State had no problems just slapping him in the post and just saying, hey, you're going to be our deep center fielder, and we're going up against Colorado and Oregon, teams that have no problems keeping the ball downfield. They're like, nah, go ahead and play back there. And I don't think that's where he's going to play predominantly in the NFL. The fact that Washington State trusted him to do that, and then you also can just see with the size, the physicality, that he can come downhill and play the run, he fits exactly what they look for. And then you get this player that the majority of, you know, people covering the draft thought would go a lot higher. Great value pick. I would be intrigued to see where the Chiefs were going to go with that pick had he not been available. I don't have any kind of read whatsoever. I think he was clear, just like, this guy's such the best player available, we have to take him here.
Yeah, this felt like we'll draft this guy and we'll figure it out sort of deal. Like we not to say that he doesn't fit, because he schematically very
totally
much
does.
Yeah, a super physical player in the middle of the field. He's their biggest safety, which is crazy in a large safety room, one of the NFL's biggest safety rooms. He is the biggest one that they've got. Big hitter, super smart guy, a leader, checks all the boxes, the ability to move around. It's that Swiss Army knife nature that I think has Steve Spagnuolo salivating a little bit. One of the things that I always had some trepidation about with trading L'Jarius Sneed has been, what can they run from a coverage standpoint? How exotic can they get? Are we going to revert back to maybe a little bit more cover two static stuff that we saw during Joshua Williams and Jalen Watson's rookie years? Are we going to see a little bit more of that? Having another defensive back that you can rotate, move guys around. Again, if you've got Justin Reed on the field but Brian Cook and Jaden Hicks, who's aligning where? You don't know. You're not looking at this as a defense and you're saying, okay, well, this guy's clearly going to be in the post. This guy is probably going to kick down against a tight end. This guy's going to line up and slide. There's not a clear defined role. Mm-hmm. It becomes a little bit more amoebic on the back end there. Steve Spagnuolo wants that. He covets that kind of versatility. And then to get it coupled with a player that's going to be physical, going to participate in run fits, going to be a team leader, like, again, it checks every single box for Spags and Dave Merritt. I might be, again, I know I'm very excited about a lot of these guys. I might be most excited to see how the Chiefs implement that guy in particular, Jaden Hicks in particular, more than anybody else in this entire draft class.
Yeah, and I think about one of the things I've been thinking about this is, like, you're right, it may not have been a need pick, but it was, the value was just undeniable. But one of the things I think about from last year, and part of the reason that this team and this defense was so successful, is the Chiefs signed Drew Tranquil, even though they had depth at the linebacker position. They had three starters. You know, they've got some players that they really like. Drew Tranquil just continued to push himself onto the field and force the hand of the team. But when Nick Bolton went down, this team didn't miss a step.
They had great problems to have.
Yeah. They're great problems to have. So, I mean, they didn't miss a beat when they lost their, you know, starting linebacker, because they had the depth and they had the foresight to make, you know, to make that move and make sure that they added just another good player at a good value. This year, I'm not saying that the safety position is going to incur attrition, but it very well could. This is how the National Football League works. And so this team insulated themselves with a high quality football player that if something happens to one of their safeties, they can figure it out.
Yeah.
And he actually could help solve if you lose a Shamari Carter, if you lose a Brian Cook, if you lose a Justin Reed for a stretch. He's a guy that can fill in and help you kind of, you know, he has skill sets that have some overlap with some of those guys, but also can let you reshuffle that group while still maintaining the ability to do some things exotically, to still do a lot of different things on defense. I adore this pick. I think it's one of the best picks that this team made in this entire draft. And I'm over the moon, but I think this is one of those moves that really just kind of changes.
I'm with you, Kent. I think it's going to be one of those moves that we're going to get, maybe not this year, but 2 years down the road, and just go, how the hell did this happen again?
Yeah.
Like, I can't believe that they let the Chiefs have this guy, that Steve Spagnuolo has this weapon that is such an integral part of their defense.
Do you want to know what happened again?
What happened?
For the third straight year, KC Sports Network has an interview with one of the Chiefs draft picks. We go down to the East-West Shrine Bowl and we get a chance to interview a bunch of players, and we get a list of players. We give the Shrine Bowl a list of players that we are trying to have the foresight to say, we think these players could be selected by the Chiefs, or we think these are interesting prospects, those kind of things. And so there's 200 players there, and we get 25 to 30 interviews. We pare that list down and we were able to get an interview with the Chiefs' fifth round pick that you'll be seeing on KC Sports Network later this week, maybe even like next couple days. But it's Hunter Norzad, the interior offensive lineman out of Penn State. It's a player we got a chance to talk to. Maddie and Craig got a chance to talk to. And we can't wait for you guys to see that interview, because you're gonna fall in love with this kid. But Craig, this is one of your guys.
It would have been my guy. If I had stamps in the KCSN draft guide, it would have been my guy. I've been talking about Hunter Norzad since January as a player that I think fits the Chiefs. The versatility, you know, he explains in his interview, you'll get to hear him say it, but when he got to Penn State, they trained him at all three interior offensive line positions after coming from Cornell as a left tackle, playing there for a number of years. Just that translatability, that effectivity, and to listen to him talk about the technical aspects of his game. He is such a smart football player. I know that, you know, that everybody's going to make that jump to that conclusion. You know, oh, he came from Cornell. Okay, Ivy League school, all that. Yeah, absolutely. He shows that when he sits there and he talks about things, when he talks about, you know, guys that he's targeting on a pin and pull run, his favorite run concepts, the things that he knew that he needed to learn from day one at Penn State. He didn't walk into the Big Ten and just go, I'm going to be good here. I'm going to be a starter for Penn State. This is something that I absolutely want to do. I'm going to kick to the inside, and I know that I'm going to be able to play against Big Ten competition. Hearing his mindset, hearing how he knows this, he's not going to be shocked by coming to the NFL and seeing bigger, more athletic players. He is not going to walk into this mindset going, oh, yeah, I'm just going to be able to do this. He has a great head on his shoulders, and he works so hard. He's so smart, and it shows up on the field, Matty, because he is a player that picks up things routinely, always seems to be in the right place, like just is the type of guy that I think Andy Reid and Andy Heck want in their offensive line room from a mental capacity. Just so helps that he's a pretty good football player too.
Yeah, and he's a typical interior offensive lineman. I think when you look at the background, he kind of falls in it. You talked about how smart he is. He's great at picking up twists, calling out protections, picking up the games, helping him get everything organized. But then he's not the best athlete. He's not going to jump out of you for his physical presence. And I think that even shows up in his game because it's all about his technique. It's about getting his hips around the blocker. It's about winning the leverage. It's about placing his hands in the proper spot. It's getting the proper angle, setting in his anchor. He does kind of all these little things that show you that I think he understands that there's going to be bigger, stronger, faster guys on the other side from him, going from the Ivy League, showing up now to the Big Ten at Penn State, where he's moving positions and starts taking reps, starting as a guard, then starting as a center for an interior offensive line last year that lost kind of their leader of the unit, and he takes over that role and still continues to progress. He's a guy that just kind of gets it. I don't know if he's ever going to be a starter at the NFL level. Like, sure, there's very much a chance he could be, but you want to sit here and say that you just got one of the better utility interior offensive linemen, can play guard, can play center, can get you out of a game in a pinch at the absolute worst case, like as like a floor for him. I absolutely see that in his future because I just think he's that smart. I think he understands not only how to play the game of football, but how he has to play it. He understands how to maximize his physical gifts and how that compares to guys across from him. And I think that's something that's really impressive for a guy that you're getting in your round five of an NFL draft.
It's a very Nick Allegretti type player just described.
We have been describing him as that since January. The Chief Scouts came out, described him as that in their, you know, post-draft presser. That's what it is.
That's what they just got another guy that kind of fits that similar mold. Has the kind of the kind of makeup to be that kind of guy for this team. I love it.
I do too.
I love a lot of these picks, man. Kamal Haddon, Tennessee cornerback, is pick 211 for the Chiefs, taking another swing on the cornerback position as they've made some selections at the defensive back spot the last few years, and they've worked out really well for this team. Kamal Haddon. Maddie, if he doesn't get hurt, if he doesn't have some of the medical concerns, do we think he goes a little bit higher?
Probably a little bit, for sure. He's interesting because when you sit there and just watch him initially, I don't think it jumps out that he's not a particularly good athlete or that he doesn't have particularly great length. I think both those things, if you're just watching on the eye test, you would probably almost put them into a strength. And it's, I guess, he's really good at maximizing the athleticism that he does have. He's really good at playing the football or his body position so that, you know, average or slightly below average arm length doesn't show up a lot. And those kind of things fit what the Chiefs look for. And then he has a shoulder injury. He ends up at the Senior Bowl. I think he's kind of playing through it a little bit. He's still in the recovery process. So I think that he didn't have a chance to really blow up the, you know, postseason into draft process here. Mm-hmm. But when you go back and watch, if you just kind of look at him through the lens of, okay, you're not going to be asked to play man coverage across the board. We're not going to ask you to necessarily be a force player all the time. Now, tackling is going to matter for the Chiefs and Steve Spagnuolo. It's something he absolutely has to work on. Mm-hmm. But purely as a cover player, if you want to just look at him through the lens of, hey, you're going to be playing a cover three scheme, a quarter scheme, and we're kind of limiting you to one section of the field, letting you be physical, letting you show off these ball skills, he's an exceptional looking player. And like, you would think a guy like that, if healthy, would go a little bit earlier. So yeah, the injury probably pushed him back a little bit, maybe some scheme specificity pushed him down a little bit. But I think the Chiefs end up finding a guy that with a little bit of work, and then again, getting him to tackle a little bit better, will go look a lot better in a couple years.
And I do wonder that while it may have hurt his draft stock, that he played through some stuff, that he kept himself on the field. I can see how that endears him to some of the coaching staff. Like, say, hey, listen, you know, he's hurt. He's still going to be out there. He's still going to be competing. He's still going to say, I'm going to show up to the Senior Bowl because I believe even with an injured shoulder, I can line up and still put myself on film and perform at a really high level. I love that about him. Yes. When you turn on the tape, though, he's not targeted very often. He doesn't allow very many completions. He seems like he's routinely in the hip pocket of the person that he is guarding. Yes, you don't want him in man coverage that's going to follow a number one all around the field. but we see how he fits into Steve Spagnuolo's defense. He's playing zone. He's making the right reads. He's being in the right spot. He's got the right sort of spacing, and then he's tracking and transitioning to the right receiver at the right time. That matters. Like, again, we've talked about what Steve Spagnuolo is wanting to run in 2024 without a Legarius Steed there. This is another piece that allows you to dip further into the coverage books if he can show up, if he can beat out a Joshua Williams and a Jalen Watson or a Jalen Watson on the field there. It's another swing at a player that is really smart, that is a ball denial type quarterback, and has ball skills. I can't talk.
Ball corners.
Did you know that we've been talking for a little while this weekend? Yeah. Sorry about that. But anyway, yeah, lots of ball skills and a ball denial type quarterback. That's really hard to find.
Pick 248 for the Kansas City Chiefs. They go back to the offensive line and they continue to try to, you know, build up that group and continue to try to invest in the trenches, which just from a concept perspective, I do appreciate and love that they are just, especially with some of the decisions that they have coming down the pike for them, I appreciate that they were addressing the offensive line and they go grab CJ Hansen out of Holy Cross. Very much a project, but from an athleticism perspective, they took a swing on a player that has one of the better athletic profiles that we've seen at the interior offensive line spot, Maddie.
Yeah, and Hansen, very big interior offensive lineman, right? Like super big, super tall, wide-bodied guy. It'll be interesting to see what he does. We were talking to our guy that works in the KCSN draft guide, Zach Hicks, about him, and he said one of the biggest things he saw is just a ton of reps pulling, a ton of pulling reps as an offensive lineman. And the Chiefs like to do that occasionally. It hasn't been the biggest part of their game going forward. They've used it intermittently over the years, getting into a power scheme, a little bit more counter stuff. So just having that in the bag for a developmental kind of reserve into your offensive line makes a lot of sense. I think you're betting on the athletic traits and looking through the Chiefs like undrafted free agents, I think we'll talk about in a minute. I understand why you would use this final pick on a super athletic interior offensive lineman, maybe over some of the guys they've signed as undrafted free agents that haven't been as athletic, so that you maybe don't have to compete as much with them in terms of getting the contract in.
Do you guys want to know something?
I would love to know something.
Yes.
About being live for that long.
What?
Holy Cross tape, a little bit hard to find, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know that they had two offensive linemen that were eligible for the NFL draft? I'm pretty sure on our live stream, I almost exclusively talked about Eric Schoen, not C.J. Hansen, on the live stream. Yeah, I said that, not much of a puller. C.J. Hansen lives to pull. Like, we got into the chat afterwards, and Zach Hicks, who I watched the Holy Cross tape with, was sitting there going, wait, what do you mean not a puller? It's like, no, he's not a puller. It's like, no, C.J. Hansen was this. C.J. Hansen is fun as hell to watch get out into space. As a blocker, it is effortless, him pulling. Again, the Chiefs clearly did not like what they had on the table and what they had in their reserves from an ability to run screens, get to the outside, move bodies. Again, we talked maybe a little bit about they may not want some of this athleticism because of the Donovan Smith, because of the Orlando Brown Jr. Adding another quality athlete at interior offensive line along with a Norzide, maybe not the best puller in that regard, but a Kingsley as well, being able to line up and get out into space. They want to maximize the amount of space that they are about to have in the middle of the field. They want to maximize the blocking schemes for their running backs. They want to maximize the effectivity of the screens that they're going to run, the tight end screens, the wide receiver screens, the running back screens. All the things that are hallmark of Andy Reid's offense, we are seeing this reversion back to what he has kind of done before. And so I am really excited. I think this is a player that makes a lot of sense in the room to replace some of the foot speed that maybe they were missing in the past and the ability to run some of these things. Another really smart player. I'm excited for C.J. Hansen.
I am too. I'm excited for all these picks. Yeah. And C.J. Hansen is definitely a guy they're trying to get out ahead of in the undrafted free agent market. So they make sure that they get him picked. But there were several other undrafted free agents that we all kind of got excited about. Yep. So let's start with this. We got a speed round because we got to get out of here so we can get this party started here at Holiday Distillery, which we're very excited to do. Come hang out if you're watching. Come hang out with us. It's going to be a good time. Craig, give me your favorite undrafted free agent that the Chiefs took.
Do I kind of have to go with the tier one set, Miles Battle out of Utah. I mentioned that he was the only tier one remaining at the end of the live stream. Again, I understand why he's a UDFA. He's more of an athlete than a corner right now. Needs a lot of help with his technique. You know, seems a little lost. Doesn't really matter if it's man or zone. Seems a little lost. But has played against good competition, not, you know, somebody that they're delving deep into D2, D3 for this. This is an Ole Miss corner. This was a Utah corner. He has seen good competition, and he's able to run with all of it. The athleticism pops on tape. He just needs a lot of technique help. You're going to tell me that Dave Merritt is going to get his hands on another super athlete and try and teach them technique? We have seen him maximize so many guys. I'm not going to be surprised if we get to camp, if they've got Miles Battle kind of squared away a little bit more, and all of a sudden he's understanding what he needs to do from a technique standpoint, he might be getting reps a little higher on the depth chart than we expect just because of that athleticism and because they might want to take that swing.
Maddie, give me one.
I'm doing two. Fabian Lovett, the defensive tackle out of Florida State, big-bodied run defender with really long arms. It's, you know, that's something the Chiefs have liked out of the position. I'll make him quick, Kent. Don't worry. Fabian Lovett was 21st in all of college football last year out of players with over 100 run defense snaps in terms of stop percentage. So, and he didn't play a lot. He was a rotational guy. He was only in on rundowns, but he was still 21st overall in terms of run stop rate. So nose tackle. This team has a lot of one-year rentals at the position. Bring another guy in, a little bit younger, long arms, big, strong body. And I'm also going with Amani Bailey, running back out of TCU. And there's a reason. When you watch him, he's a lot of fun. People have already kind of made the connection. I think I wrote this a little bit in the KCSN draft guide. He's like a smaller version of Isaiah Pacheco. That's how he runs. He's very angry. He's very decisive. And yeah, that leads to maybe not the best patient. Maybe he misses some gaps, some holes in that he's supposed to see out there, but puts his foot in the ground, gets upfield, does everything aggressively. I just think he's got a little more wiggle in the open field. I am surprised his athletic testing was so poor. Not necessarily the 40 time. I don't care about the 40 time, but the jumps. I don't see how the guy that moves the way he did, as explosive as he is on the field, couldn't jump better than, I mean, a very, very, very poor NFL athlete. So yeah. I'm excited to see Amani Bailey in training camp and going through, because I think there's actually a little bit more there than what the athletic testing says. Sorry, Kent.
No, that's you, Kent.
No, that's good. I'll just throw out Carson Steele, the running back out of UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
This is an early entrant into the NFL draft. So he's only played 3 years of college football. He started at Ball State, ran for nearly 1,600 yards his last year there, averaging 5.4 yards per carry at Ball State. Turns around, averages 5.1 for UCLA in the Pac-12 this year.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of, you know, there's a lot of tread on the tires left. He's only had like 600, a little over 600 carries in his entire career. He's well built. Not the best athlete, but I think he had pretty good vision. I think he had pretty good toughness in between the tackles. Obviously, he's a load to try to tackle. I think he's a sneaky, interesting one. I think he's got some chops as a pass protector. Caught the ball out of the backfield a little bit. How many catches he had? He had 60 catches in 3 years total.
Yeah.
I mean,
he gets used.
Used a little bit out of the backfield. It's probably going to be the basic staples that the Chiefs use at running back anyway.
Yeah.
They're not really getting their routes involved too much with the passing game anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think he's an interesting prospect.
Yeah,
as well.
We also have an interview with him coming from the East-West Shrine game that we got to talk to him as well.
Yep.
As well as linebacker Curtis Jacobs out of Penn State. Another fun swing at the position. I didn't think the Chiefs needed to draft a linebacker at any point in this draft, but I like this swing on this player in UDFA. Add him to the room. Just see, yeah, they've got some spots. They special teamers and all of that. I think he's got a good shot to make this roster still.
I think Curtis Jacobs is one of the best special teams candidates in the entire draft from the linebacker position. So, you know, as a true linebacker, definitely some instinct questions for me. Played a little bit as an overhang, played in space, was asked to play in space despite being a pretty big kid and a good athlete. He was able to hold up well out there, but the special teams piece of it, I think he is one of the premier special teams candidates in this entire draft.
Yeah.
So I like what this team has done in the UDFA market. We love what they've done with this draft, and we've loved being out here at Holiday Distillery all week. It's been a lot of fun. Thank you all so much for supporting KC Sports Network, watching these streams. Thank you so much for helping us exceed $10,000 raised for the Power Mizzou journalism
scholarship
in honor of Therese Paylor. Means a lot. Cannot tell you how much that means to us. I hope to thank you out here. If you come out here and let us know that you donated, please, so we can say thank you for helping support that. That is going to do it for our show tonight. You got something real quick?
Yeah. For those of you that have entered into the raffle, we're going to be announcing winners here.
Are we doing it right now?
Yeah. We're doing it right now. Yeah. We're doing it on the live.
Well, I'm glad I didn't close the show.
Yeah. Wow. That's why I was trying to get it.
That's okay.
Likes to get to the end of the show.
You close it for the podcast. We'll say it that way. You close it for the podcast.
Yeah, for the audio podcast. We'll call it later.
We will. Let me change the background here so we can.
Yeah, BJ said Carson Steele highlights are very fun. They are.
They are. Yes.
Man runs behind his pads. BJ really is excited about getting these up on.
No, let's have some thighs on them. That is a great.
Woof. And he's also brought in 2 5-star.
Look at all of those.
Yeah, I saw that, man. Look at all these names.
Do you see all those names? Okay. I know you guys can't see me. You guys can probably hear me, though. I hope you guys can hear me. I'm going to spin this. I'll run down the jerseys or the prizes. First, we're going to start with the Derek Johnson jersey. Is what I was going to get to.
With that one, I understand. Yeah.
I'm going to click to spin it here. We'll see if my computer is just going to blow up because of how many names are on this computer here or on this wheel. I know there's a little bit of sound effects you're getting there from the wheel as well. Christian Muley. Shout out Christian Muley.
Christian
Muley. Thank you.
Thank you, Christian.
Enjoy that DJ jersey.
Let me write down your name so we remember to send it to you. Okay.
When something over moving them all, like all the.
There's a little bit of behind the scenes discussion that's happening right now. Congratulations to Christian Muley.
Big donation from Christian Muley, if I remember correctly. Yeah. So thank you so much.
Yes.
Okay, we were talking about stipulations over here. We were talking about rules of the contest. So Christian Muley, you can only win once, and you get a cut. I mean, the DJ jersey. That's a
good prize.
Just saying.
That's a pretty good one. All right, here we go. This one is for the Legarius Sneed jersey. The Legarius Sneed jersey. Spinning here. Look, we've used this wheel of names for a couple of things, and every time it is absolutely packed, loaded down, and I don't know if it's supposed to be this.
Kevin Putman,
thank you, Kevin, for your donations, and you are going away with a Legarius Sneed signed jersey.
Love it. Congrats,
Kevin. All right, this one is for the Nicholas Bolton signed Chiefs jersey. Fun fact about me, I have a Nick Bolton signed jersey, number 54.
Nice.
Signed a Nick Bolton jersey.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's a collector's item, you could say. Michael Fisher. You are walking away with a Nick Bolton jersey. Thank you for your donation. All right, this is a big one here. The Royals, I don't know if you guys have heard this, the Royals are back. The Royals are hot. So you are going to walk away with a MJ Melendez signed baseball plus a $200 ticket voucher from Tickets for Less. Thank you for our friends at Tickets for Less for this prize. They are wonderful friends there. Armand Jordan, thank you for it.
Thank you, Armand Jordan.
Armand.
Did write your name twice, but thank you.
Armand Jordan.
Thank you.
You're going to feel real bad if that's actually his whole name.
I'm glad we said it all.
Wow.
All right.
I said it all.
I didn't make fun of it.
Wow. This is a really good prize.
It's Tucker.
Look, we got all really good prizes here. This is the Tripp McDuffie signed football.
Yeah.
Tripp McDuffie, good football player. I don't know if you heard. Who is going to be walking away with the Tripp McDuffie signed?
All pro football player. First team all pro.
It's a good looking signature. North of the silver marker. North of the Mason Dixon. Tara West.
Tara West.
You are walking away with a signed football from Legarius Sneed.
Trent McDuffie.
Yeah, that's what I meant. from Trent McDuffie. Even better. So this one, we have 5 winners. These are signed copies of Ebony Reed's book, 15 Cents on the Dollar. We will have 5 winners of this. So we will roll through these 5 winners with a copy of this book. Signed copy.
By the way.
We got
Glenn Happenstein.
We should have made Craig read all the names.
He's doing a great job.
He really is. I was going to say.
Thanks, guys.
Is.
Some of us support our friends.
Yeah, let's see if my computer is still going to allow this spin to happen. It seems like it's going a little bit better now. It seems like we're cleared up a little bit on the spinner.
All right, book number 2.
J.J. Felton, congratulations. I do love the clap sound effect that it gets.
I do. No, it's great.
It's a really good... shout out WheelOfNames.com. We've used you for a Solo KC raffle. We've used him for other things that we've done, and obviously this as well. Over 1,000 names were here.
Holy
by the
God,
so, thank you so much for all the donations. Ryan Crawford.
Ryan.
Shout out Ryan Crawford.
That was book number 3. We got 2 more books left.
2 more books.
Signed.
What? Signed books.
Copies.
I think Ebony's actually on her book tour right now promoting
this. That's awesome.
So she gave us a...
She was so excited last night.
She went. Russell
Crowe. Russell Crowe.
I thought it was Russell Crowe for a second. I hesitated.
I said, wait a second. Russell Crowe?
Rod Carew.
Not entertained.
No. This is the last one.
That's the last book.
Last prize.
Book. Here we go.
Last prize here. All right.
Big money, no whammies.
Big bucks, no whammies. Big bucks, no whammies. Last book, last prize here for the Therese Paylor Memorial Raffle. Thank you for all your donations. The winner is... Brandon
Bowen. Thank you to everybody for donating to the solo or to the KC raffle for this. This we raised the most money that we have ever. On draft weekend ever, and we don't get to do a lot of this without you. So we love you. We appreciate you. Thank you so much. That money is going to help a lot of people, and every year we're going to keep doing this. And
we're going to see you next year.
We're going to see you next year. Thank you so much.
Real quick, I just want to shout out for everybody who's watching. Can we get a virtual clap for Kent, Craigie, and Matt?
Craigie,
Maddie, and Tucky did a phenomenal job this week. I don't know. I think people understand how much work that you guys put into this, but I don't know if they quite understand how much work you guys put into this going back to the beginning of football season. So, well done, fellas. Congratulations.
Thanks,
if I can get the people...
Thanks,
watching virtually to just hit the like button and let us know that they appreciate it. That'd be great. And say that Craig is great in the comments.
Please do not do that. That's the one thing that I would ask that you not do.
Well,
he is great.
It's not just all of us. It's BJ. We thank BJ for everything he's done to make this such an easy, it makes it easier on us. All the stuff he does for us to make it behind the scenes. And it's a lot of great people too. It's Joel Prestel as well, doing some incredible social work as well. And there's a whole village of people here at KC Sports Network that love what we do and are passionate.
Nick Springer. Nick Johnson yesterday helping out. Yeah.
Just thank you, everyone that's been a part of everything we do here. And we love doing it, and we love you, and we love the community that this thing has become, and we appreciate you. And we will be back later this week to talk more Chiefs with you. Catch you later.
Frogs!
All did great. So did the frogs.
Oh.
Thank you for listening to KC Sports Network. We appreciate your support. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard. You can find all 6 of our channels covering the Chiefs, Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain. Educate. Inform. KC Sports Network.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.